Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Did I say it right? All right. Hey, I got it right. That's great. Okay. The missionary campers that travel all over the country, and they're going to be heading out in a couple weeks out toward Arizona, out west. And they were here a work day with us as well, and they're here with us. But we also have some other missionaries all the way across the ocean from Albania. And I'd like you to welcome Ken and Don and Joshua and Stephen Bishop. And would you welcome them right there in the second row? Go ahead and stand up. And would you folks, Ken and Don, one of you come forward and be a spokesman? I'd like you to just share a little bit with what you do. We count it an honor to have missionaries here. And tell us a little bit about Albania and what you do, and kind of just give us some information about you.
This is a little impromptu. We just decided
to
come.
We do a lot of impromptu stuff. So
it's an honor to be here.
Thank you. When did you get in?
With you. We just got in the night before last.
Okay.
So we're a little bit red-eyed still from the from the flight. But I was reminded when you were asking to raise your hands and bless the Father as we open the service tonight that reminds me of when God spoke to Abraham and said, "I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you.
Amen.
And amongst your seed, you will be a blessing to the nations."
Amen.
And that was one of a very special verse for us when we first got called out of pews. Simple, I was an engineer before that, nothing ordained or anything, ordained by God.
Amen. But that's right.
Called out of the pews to go and serve in the country of Albania, where we're basically trying to raise a fellowship like you have here in Christ's holy name.
Mm. Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
How long have you been there?
We've been in Albania 9 years now.
Wow.
We have two sons that are here. My daughter's in college now. And Joshua there, my tallest, he's spent half his life in Albania.
Wow.
And he's coming back for college. So it's going to be a tough transition for him. We're going to take Stephen home, and we're going to have one baby in the house.
Okay.
I don't know. Has anybody else ever been there?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
God has done some amazing things. Lord Jesus has done amazing things this last term. We have been able to see people initiate small groups.
Oh, wow.
And I'm telling you, that is something we have prayed for years for. And the investment of learning the language and learning the culture, we're finally starting to see the fruit of that. And I just want to share with you that I was able to come back to the States 2 years ago to bring my daughter for college. And my parents live over here in Continental. And, you know, Grace Tabernacle's right here. So I just said, you know, I'm just going to come here. And I'll tell you what. The worship and the word and just seeing your fellowship broke me. And, you know, it just made me refocus on the Lord. And your pastor here has blessed my family. He kind of downplays it. I think you know that probably. But I emailed him and I asked him to go and be with my dad because in December my dad had open heart surgery. Had bypass surgery, ended up with pneumonia, had to get his toe removed. I mean, just one thing after another. And your pastor, we'd never met. He went and prayed for my family twice. And that is something I couldn't do at the time. I couldn't come across the ocean at that time and be with my family. And that is just a real blessing. You guys have an amazing man of God leading you.
Amen.
And we thank you for the spirit that we feel here that is just renewing us even in these few songs.
We're going to pray that you get renewed more.
Yeah.
And,
thank you.
But tell us
of
Albania, what little bit I know about it is not a lot, but I remember years ago the Lord laid Albania on our heart of all countries to pray for Albania when our children were little. Oh,
88
maybe.
Wow.
88 was, Albania is just north of Greece. If you kick the boot of Italy back, you hit Albania. Okay. So we're behind the boot. Just don't give us the boot. All joke. It was the only officially atheistic country in
that's
the world.
Right.
In 88.
That's right.
It was still under communism and declared no religion. They bulldozed the churches and the mosques. Before that, it was mostly mosques. It was a Muslim nation. And coming out of communism, they returned to their Muslim roots. But it's a very weak Muslim, secular Muslim. They don't really ever go to the mosque. They never pray on Fridays. They don't fast during Ramadan, things like that. It's really a cultural Muslim. But it's been very hard, hard ground. We've been there. In this area we're working in now, 7 years, and we just had our first baptism service this last fall.
Wow.
But we're praising God for it.
Persevered, yeah.
We had four baptisms in, and we have another service scheduled while I'm away here, unfortunately, but we're praising God for the fruit that we're starting to see now. So.
Amen.
Awesome, guys.
Well, I just want to say I think our prayers back then.
Well, I want to share, I believe that God answered your prayer because in 1990, when the walls were falling down in Eastern Europe, that was when things fell apart and this dictator who ran this country was removed out of power and democracy, I use that word lightly, was put in its place. And that is when the first missionaries were able to get in was around 1990, 91. Mm-hmm. And so your prayers were answered a mere 3
Hallelujah.
Years later.
Wow.
And it's been open ever since.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you. I'm sure there are lots of people praying, but we were just glad to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's right.
How awesome is that? Well, let's, while you're standing here, and Scalacci, I'm getting used to saying that, okay.
teach me now.
You're going to be here next week, right? Sunday morning, but how about Wednesday, next Wednesday? No? Well, then you need to come up. We need to pray for you guys as well. Okay. We want to ask some men and women just to gather around this missionaries. I mean, wow, what a privilege. And just pray blessings upon them. And if you have a prophetic word, share that with them and just encourage them in the Lord. And let's just, anybody feels led, come on up. Then let's just take a moment here. Take time. God, thank you. First of all, I want to lead us in prayer and thank you for people who said yes to the call of God. Yes to the sacrifices of being a living sacrifice in this world. Yes to the inconveniences of being missionaries. They said yes, Lord, to the sacrifices financially that would be placed upon their lives. They said yes to the dangers, God, that they would incur in their life because of persecution that comes upon those who bear the name of Christ, especially in what was once an atheistic country. God, and campers, the missionaries, God, the Scalacci's, is how they have given up their lives to obey the call of God. God, we can't say thank you enough. This is an honor. These are rare individuals. And we know that they are treasures. And we just speak blessing upon them, God. Every need be supplied. Their finances not be lacking, but they would be overflow. We call in for surplus to come into their lives. God, we call blessings of health to be theirs. And divine healing. And then miracles and signs and wonders to follow their ministry. As the evidence that your spirit is in them. And while they're here in this place called Grace Tabernacle, we pray for refreshment.
Yes. Yes.
Refreshment and renewal of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Anybody feel like you have a prophetic word for them? Speak it up if you do. Or if you hurry. Take your time. Blessing, blessing, blessing. And if you don't feel like you have anything else, that's fine. Go ahead and be seated. And thank you, Lord. Prayer works. Prayer always works. Prayer always works. Never fails. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hey, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit renewal. Come to you and to all of us. In fact, it's already available. In fact, God already sent it. Did you check your mail? I'm not kidding. He's already given it to you. And praise God, it's yours. And in fact, he wants me to talk to you about that, to encourage you tonight. That very subject. Interesting how God is way ahead of us, isn't it? All right, now he also wants me to learn how to use this so I can go forward. There it is, right in front of me. Holy Spirit renewal. God's got something for you tonight. He's got a little bit of nourishment that you need. You know, we all need renewal. I don't know if you know what the word renewal actually means. But it means a change for the better. And we all need change, and we're all being changed. And the Lord wants to change us for the better. And he has a way of doing that. In fact, just to kind of give you a little insight, Jesus, he one day was walking by in Samaria, and he sat down by a well. It's not coincidental that he sat down by a well. The woman who came up there, you know the story, and she said, you know, she's getting water out of the well, and he says, give me a drink. And he says to her, if you would have known, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. In other words, he's almost encouraging her, tantalizing her to ask him some questions, to go deeper with him. And it's not a coincidence that he's sitting by a well, a place of renewal, a place of refreshment. If you knew, implying you should be able to pick up on this, that this is not just someone who's here with you, but this is the gift of God that's with you. And if you knew the gift of God, then you would ask. You wouldn't hesitate. Give me a drink of that living water that will renew me and that I'll never thirst again. Now, there's a lot there that is implied and a lot there in this teaching that could go much deeper. But I want to move along to some of the things and help you understand that God intends for us to be spiritual in the sense that we should be picking up on what he's doing, even in the natural. He's wanting us to be able to pick up on what's going on around us and realize what God is up to. And when you're spiritual, you pick up on the things of God. You see things that other people don't see. You hear things that other people don't hear. They just miss it. It goes right over their head. Jesus wasn't talking about just water that come out of that well. He was talking about living water. He was talking about the Holy Spirit that can refresh you and cause you to never thirst again. That's what he was talking about. And Jesus wants us to be able to pick up on some things. For example, this scripture right here is talking about Simeon, an old man who was in the temple when the baby Jesus was brought in by Mary and Joseph to be dedicated to the Lord. And Simeon, an old man, and there's probably hundreds of people, maybe if not 1,000, I don't know, hundreds of people in the temple area. And they and Mary and Joseph and the baby look like normal people. They're just common people. They walk in through the temple, and Simeon picks up on something. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And then later, Anna, who was a prophetess, she also picked up on. And here's hundreds of people walking around, and they're not aware of anything, just a normal day. And the gift of God is right there in their midst. See, if you're not spiritual, you'll miss things that God intends for you to be able to see. The woman at the well, she should have been able to pick up on, this is the Son of God. But so how could she do that? But because God can do anything, and God can make himself known to anybody. And if you're spiritual, you can pick up on that. And so today, when the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and he's in us to renew us, because we constantly need renewal. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Excuse me. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. The Bible tells us that we're not saved by works of righteousness, which we've done. We know that. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Hallelujah. Amen. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He didn't just forgive our sins. He gave us the Holy Spirit that's always on, always fresh, always ready. And this renewing of the Holy Ghost is always at work inside of us. We don't have to go to a renewal conference. We have the conference speaker living inside of us. And he will renew us. And it's interesting, that word renewal of the Holy Ghost, that word renewal is the word anakinosis. It's only used two times in the New Testament. Here and Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 tells you, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A complete change for the better. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He brings about a complete change for the better. And actually, he does it every day. You can actually say, like Dan DeLibro in the back, oftentimes I say, hey, Dan, how you doing? He says, I'm getting better looking every day. Or I'm getting better every day. When I saw him years ago when he was in the hospital, he said, I'm getting better every day. And he meant it. And you can say the same thing if you have the Holy Spirit. I'm getting better every day. Because I'm renewed all the time by the Holy Spirit on the inside. Now, how does this complete change go about, and how does it take place in our lives? Well, the Bible tells us many different examples of this. In the Old Testament, you know the scripture, I won't read it to you. Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 30. Those that wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. You know that scripture. In other words, the spirit gets stronger as you learn to wait upon the Lord. What do you mean by wait upon the Lord? By your fellowship with God. You're binding yourself with him. Your fellowship with him. And as you wait upon the Lord, your fellowship with him in his word and in prayer, it actually makes you stronger on the inside. And the same is also true, that if your flesh gets stronger than your spirit, then you get weaker as a person, because the true person is the spirit. The Bible goes on to say in Psalm 103, verse 5, that God is the one who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. God is so good, he brings good things to your life. Everything good you have in your life comes from God. So he brings good things into your life. And some of the things he brings in your life causes you to shed off the old feathers and grow some new ones. You know, it's like Job. Sometimes you go through things, a season in your life, where things go from bad to worse. But Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. And I know that even if my flesh is destroyed, in my flesh, in other words, if I'm destroyed, in my flesh, I shall see God. He knew good things were coming. He kept the faith, you see. And in the end, he received double for his trouble. We all know that. And if he were here today, Job were here today, he would say to you, he'd say, I don't want to go through that again. That was the worst nightmare of my life. But looking back, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And many of you will be able to say the same thing. You'll go through things, and it's like you're shedding off the old feathers, and you're growing some new ones. And God is doing something in all of that. Nothing is wasted. We see that the Apostle Paul said that we should be strengthening ourselves in the Lord, in the inner man. The outer man perishes. 2 Corinthians 4:15 and 6. The outer man perishes. We're getting older. The body's wearing down, and we feel those aches and pains. But the inner man gets renewed every day. The inner man should get stronger, even though the flesh gets weaker. And you may need to take a vacation every now and then. Change of scenery can be good. Your inner man should stay strong. See, the Bible even says it this way. Bodily exercise profiteth little. There's some profit in that. But godliness is great gain. I mean, it's good for now and eternal life. And so renewal comes through a variety of ways. Let me just mention a few of these for you tonight. One of the greatest and fastest ways renewal comes in your life is through repentance. It's through repentance. Acts 3:19. Come on, machine. In Acts 3:19, God speaks there through the Holy Spirit, and he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, when the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. So repentance preceded the refreshing presence of the Lord. And so there's a need for us to shed off the old feathers and shed off the old things that we need to get rid of in order that the Lord can bring the refreshing of his presence in our lives. And he does that through a variety of ways. But renewal comes through repentance. And we all need repentance. That just means a change for the better. Hallelujah. So if there's some sin in your life right now, just make a change for the better instantly, right where you are. God, grant me the grace to fully repent of this. And he'll help you. Right. It's instant. You don't have to beg. You don't have to cry. You just make a decision. I want the refreshing presence of the Lord in my life. Therefore, I repent of the things I know that God's not pleased with. But you will need some counseling. I will say that. You will need some counseling. And the good news is you don't have to go to one. He's already comes to you. The Holy Spirit, the renewer, is called the counselor. And he lives inside those who have been born from above. God says in the Old Testament, he said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. And if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the best of the land. He gives good counsel. And one of the ways, this may be new to some of you, but one of the ways that you get the counsel from the Lord, because the Holy Spirit lives deep within your spirit. Your spirit and his spirit are joined as one spirit. And the Holy Spirit's deep on the inside of you, like that well. He's deep there. And so one of the ways you get the counsel of the Holy Spirit is through a very mysterious and controversial issue, thing. And that is called praying in tongues. But it's the Bible. Praying in tongues goes deeper and beyond your understanding and into your spirit, and you draw out of that well where God lives inside of you, where all the wisdom and knowledge of the world exists. You draw out of that well what you need through praying in tongues and the interpretation. Paul said that he spoke in tongues more than anybody. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So what should we do? We should speak in tongues a lot. You pray with your mind, but you pray with the Spirit also. You pray with understanding and you pray with the Spirit. So there are some things you don't know how to pray about. But the Spirit knows how to pray. There are some things you don't know how to address, but the Spirit knows how to address, and He will lead you. And this takes faith. You've got to believe. And this is why I think praying in tongues is really a faith issue for people, more than, you know, a theological dicing up the word. It's a faith issue, because you've got to believe the Word of God, that God Himself, the Spirit of God, actually is speaking as you speak through tongues through you. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, speaking in tongues edifies you. It builds you up. It makes you stronger. It renews you. Jude verse 20 says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. And there's a scripture in Isaiah that talks about praying in tongues brings rest to us. Paul used that scripture in Isaiah 28, and he put it all the way over in 1 Corinthians 14. The whole chapter is talking about praying in tongues and prophesying, which are both very mysterious gifts, but it takes faith to operate in. And so praying in tongues brings a rest and a refreshment to your spirit. It is spiritual. Your mind does not understand it. It doesn't make any sense to you whatsoever. And you have to understand that praying in the Spirit is a very spiritual exercise that your spirit gets refreshment from and strength from. And when you're in a very spiritually dry place, or you're discouraged, or you're physically weary, like coming back from Albania, I would encourage you to pray in tongues and watch what happens. Watch what happens, because Paul quoted Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12, he quoted it in 1 Corinthians 14, 21, as that this stammering tongue, this foreign language coming from other people in Isaiah's context, he says, is the equivalent of praying in tongues today that will give you rest in a way that you'll never find any other way. It's spiritual. You can't understand it. It's beyond understanding. When you pray in tongues in public, like a public setting tonight, if someone stood up all of a sudden and they began to shout out in tongues, we would all wait, and then we would pray for an interpretation, because publicly, in a public setting, that needs to be interpreted. So everybody benefits. Paul gives clarification on that. But he also says that you can pray in tongues privately in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. Therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So when you're in your prayer language, when you're praying in tongues, after you're done praying in tongues, you just ask God. Ask God for the interpretation, because the Spirit was praying through you and providing answers and leading and guidance out of the well that's deep within you, and He's giving solutions, but you need the interpretation. And that's why He says you pray for the interpretation. Now, here's one drawback that most of us have made an error in. We think that the interpretation is going to come right then. Or we think the interpretation is going to be verbal. Not necessarily. Scripture doesn't say that. We should never limit how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He can speak to you anytime, anywhere. For example, how many of you have God speak to you while you're in the shower? Why does He do that? How many of you had God speak to you in a dream at night? He wake you up, and you know. How many of you, while you're driving in a car? I mean, God is not limited. And we should not limit the Spirit, you see. So we pray for the interpretation. Now, Father, you know my mind doesn't understand what I'm praying in tongues about, and you're praying through me. But you told me to pray that I might interpret, so I ask you for the interpretation, and I thank you for it, because it will come. And I believe it. And you go on about your day, and it may come to you suddenly. It may come in a dream at night. It may come while you're reading something, maybe while you're reading the Word, or while you're watching a baseball game. Suddenly, an answer to a problem, an answer to a solution, or a direction, or whatever it is that you've been praying about will come to you. And that's the interpretation. It's because you prayed in the Spirit, and you asked God for the interpretation. See, you're a really spiritual being. You got to act like you're a spiritual being. You got to do spiritual things. Praying in the Spirit is part of your inheritance, is part of what you're supposed to be doing. And so the Bible says in Colossians, for example, Colossians 2:3, it says, in him, Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I mean, everything you've ever wanted to know about anything is in Jesus. He knows everything. He knows how to fix a car. He knows how to fix things in your house. He knows how to cause you to get wealth. He knows how to heal your body. He knows what your body needs more than a doctor does. He knows everything there is to know. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. And where is he? Your body is a temple. There's a well there. There's a river, John 7 says. Jesus said there's a river of the Holy Spirit that's waiting to just gush out of you. All the wisdom and the knowledge of the universe is in Jesus, and it's inside you. The solution to your problem is already in you. You already have everything you need for life and godliness. It's in you. But you've got to learn how to get it out and make a demand upon your faith, not a demand upon God, but a demand upon the faith that God gives you. Exercise that faith and pray in the Spirit and then pray to interpret and believe God will answer, and he'll answer you. He's not a respecter of persons. He's not a respecter of persons. He will help anybody who wants help. But you got to come to him in faith, believing. Every solution to every problem is already in Jesus who lives inside of you. That's why he's the counselor. That's why he's the comforter. So all this wisdom and all this knowledge remains hidden. It's hidden deep inside you unless you learn to draw it out by faith. How do I draw out all this wisdom and knowledge that I need? How do I draw it out of me? By faith, by praying in tongues. Because your mind says that's ridiculous. But the Bible tells you it's your gift. It's what you do. It's your heavenly language. So praying in tongues and then praying for the interpretation is a deeper faith than just mind faith. When you pray in your language, when you pray in English or Spanish, whatever your language is, when you pray that way, you're praying with your mind. But when you pray in a language that your mind doesn't understand, you go much deeper. You're going deep within. Deep calls into deep at the sound of thy waterspouts. All thy breakers and waves have rolled over me. Psalm 42, verse 7. And so we learned that deep within us is this well, this place of renewal. And so God wants you to be able to draw upon this. What good is it to have all the wisdom and knowledge of the universe living inside of you when you need some answers and you don't know how to get to it? In fact, God wired you and put a direct wire coming from heaven, from the Holy Spirit with inside of you, a 220 line, a 220 power line from heaven. And 220 is much greater than a 110 in your household. 220 power is mentioned in 1 John 2:20. In 1 John 2:20, the scripture says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you what?" Inside you is all the wisdom of all the knowledge of all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge inside you. And he goes on to say in 1 John 2:27, he says, you don't really have any need for anybody to teach you because you have an anointing, and the anointing will teach you all things. But most people don't know how to draw upon the anointing. And so God, in his mercy and his grace, he does give us teachers. I'm a teacher. Brother Joseph's a teacher. And other people here are teachers. That's your gift. That's what you do. But he gives you a gift so that you can help the body of Christ. But you should get to the point where you're not dependent upon any man. You're dependent upon the Lord who lives inside you. And he knows all things, and he knows how to communicate to you, and he's teaching you how to communicate to him. And you need to learn the voice of the Holy Spirit. And nobody can teach you this but the Holy Spirit. You've got to learn the voice of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah described it this way. Your ears are going to hear a word behind you say, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. You learn the way of the Spirit by experience. You go through stuff. You learn to discern God is in every part of your life. Every part of your life. Not just in church on Wednesday or Sunday. He's in everything. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. He is even in your suffering. He's in your pain. He's in your tears. He's in your sorrow. He's in your sadness. God is there, and there are riches to be redeemed out of all that you go through. Jesus even said of Paul before, when he sent Ananias, he said, this man's going to suffer. I'm going to show him how he's got to suffer many things for me. But God was in all of that, you see. So you should look for God in everything you go through in life. When there's a delay, when there's a disappointment, when something happens you don't understand why it happened, when bad news comes and all this, I'm not saying God's the author of bad news, but I'm saying you should look for God in all of this. He's involved in your life. And listen to him, and he'll show you the way to go. He'll say, go do this. Go, don't do this. I was telling Brother Joseph today, the time that I got out of the Marine Corps, my goal, my dream was I was enlisted, man. I was going to get out of the Marine Corps, and I was going to, in Daytona, I was going to go to community college for 2 years, and then I was going to go to a regular college, a university, and get my other degree and go back in and as an officer, because you got to have a 4-year degree to be an officer. And that was my dream and that was my goal. So Pam and I heard the Lord say to me, education. So I got out of the Marine Corps and 4 years, 11 months. And then went back to Daytona Beach and lived in a little apartment, had our daughter then. And then I went out to the community college thinking, okay, today's the day to register, sign up. I'm going to start my education process. And when I was on the campus, I couldn't even go to the registrar's office. I couldn't do it. I perceived death. I perceived death. I perceived don't do it. It made no sense to my brain whatsoever. I couldn't do it. I walked around. I just felt like, oh, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. I couldn't tell you any good reason for it. I went home that day, and my wife said, well, did you register today for school? I said, no. She said, why? I said, I just felt like I don't belong there. I don't believe God wants me to go there. She said, are you crazy? That's why we got out of the Marine Corps, so you could go to school. And but what I'm trying to help you understand is that the Spirit will lead you. See, if you're led by your mind, you're going to make some terrible mistakes. Because in the natural, it would seem right to do this or right to do that. But you have one inside you who has all knowledge. He knows what the future is, and he knows the plans that he has for your life. And he will lead you, but he won't explain it to you first. He'll say, turn right, turn left, do this, don't do that. And if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you'll do that, and you'll save yourself a lot of trouble. Even in your griefs and sorrows, God keeps your tears in a bottle, he says. So you should keep your treasured thoughts. You should keep a little journal. How did God show himself to me today? How did God manifest leading me today? What do I believe God is leading me to do? And sometimes you won't always know it pinpoint on an everyday basis, but you'll know it over a process, maybe 2 or 3 days, maybe a week, maybe a month or whatever. You'll just put together, this is what God's showing me. See, when Jesus was led by the Spirit, the Bible says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days of temptation by the devil. How many of you know that wasn't a vacation? He suffered many things that we didn't even know about. He suffered many, many things, and loneliness and depression and discouragement for sure. But the Bible says that later on, he returned in the power of the Spirit. How did he do that? Well, very clearly, He was filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness, to go through a very difficult time. He went through it under the leading of God. And therefore, he knew that the things that he suffered were God-ordained. And so he remained faithful even when it was difficult. He remained faithful when it was hard. He remained faithful because he knew God has led me here. And as he remained faithful, the Bible says, and he came out in the power of the Spirit. You want to know how you increase in power? You remain faithful when it's hard. You remain faithful. You listen to the Holy Spirit. He said, go this way. I go this way. I don't understand it. Doesn't make any sense to me. It'd be easier to go that way, but I'm obeying him. Obey the last thing you heard God say to you. Be faithful, and you'll get stronger, and you build up strength on the inner man. And this is very important. The Holy Spirit is called in the Bible the helper. How many of you need some help tonight? He's right here. You already have him. All the help you'll ever need is right there. The Bible also calls him the comforter. Who needs some comfort tonight? Okay. He's right there. Okay. He's called the counselor. How many of you need counseling? Like, I don't understand what to do or where to go or decisions to make. You already have him. He's called the intercessor. How many of you need somebody to pray for you tonight that really knows how to pray? He's the intercessor. He's called the standby. He's called the advocate. The advocate. He's your lawyer. He's going to stand up and defend you when everybody's accusing you. He's also called your strengthener. So everything you need, you've already got it. But you got to make a demand on your faith that God gave you and draw upon it because it's deep down inside the well. And the best way to do that is just to pray with your mind what you know you need to pray about. But then when you don't know what else to pray about, pray in tongues. And then ask God for the interpretation and be sure he will give it. Be sure he will give it. All right, let's stand to our feet and let's do a confession. I want you to repeat this confession with me. This is going to strengthen you because life comes out of your mouth, and when life comes out of your mouth, it returns life to you. So we're going to speak life to ourselves tonight, and we're going to bless the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, go ahead and repeat it with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives inside me. The solution to all my problems is in you, and your Holy Spirit lives inside me. The Holy Spirit counsels me, comforts me, and helps me. When I feel pressure on the outside, I can find strength to help on the inside. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I choose to walk by faith and not by what I can see. As I pray in the Spirit in a brand new tongue, I am speaking to my Father in the Son. And with my heart, I am believing that the answers will come by praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, while you're up, just go ahead. You can pray with your mind if you want to. Go ahead and pray in English if you want to. But pray in tongues if you're ready to do it. Just pray in tongues. Just go ahead and pray in tongues. 60 seconds. Go.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.